The fruit of the Spirit, every single one has different characteristics in how we respond to God and how we treat other people. Now, joy and faithfulness are expressed vertically because it's about how we go to God, enjoying being faithful to God. And peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness bear directly on how we interact with others, with my friends, with my family, with people in the church. And there is a fruit in the middle there, love, that helps us to go to God and how we deal with people. But there is one fruit who seems to be out of place: self-control. The characteristic of a Christ follower that seems to be focused more on me, just me, instead of my relationships with other people. Self-control. I can exercise self-control when I am the only person in the house, when in my private moments, when no one else is looking, is precisely when I need self-control the most. However, if we don't exercise self-control, we are going to be in trouble. We could have been loving, kind, generous, and people say how good you are, and suddenly we lose it. And you... If we have self-control, we will benefit from it, and people around us will benefit from it. Self-control is the quality that allows you and me to stop, you know, yourself from doing things you want to do, but that may not be in your best interest. You want to do it. I want to do it. Our worst enemy is who? Ourselves. And somebody says this, and I like this quote. He said, if you could kick the person responsible for most of your troubles, you will not be able to sit down for weeks and weeks. And I like that one. Because it's us. We tend to blame other people. What is self-control? What is self-control? Again, when the Greeks wanted to illustrate self-control, they built a statue of a man or a woman in perfect proportion. You know, that was the Greek, trying to illustrate the word self-control. And then to them, self-control was the proper ordering and balancing of the individual. When we have everything in place and we are okay, so a beautiful picture that a person has when we have self-control. Brian Bills, I like the description that he is a very short one, and I like this one because he says, a self-controlled person is one who holds himself in. In the New Testament, in the NIV, the word translated self-control in English is rendered temperance. That is in the NIV. But in the King James Version, it comes from the word strength. That is where the word self-control in English comes from. And then it means one who holds himself in. But this definition is a little bit deceiving, you know, because it appears that it relies on our willpower, that we are going to hold ourselves in properly before we can do something that is not right for us. The Apostle Paul, this is the verse that I have been quoting the last 7 weeks. He says in Romans chapter 7 verse 18, the things I want to do are the things I don't do, and the things I don't want to do are the things that end up doing it. So there is a constant struggle in our lives. We want to be nice. Sometimes we are not. And Paul, Before we go into, you know, to unpack the, you know, self-control, let's talk about Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. He starts talking about this problem, about himself. He says in Romans, you know, I struggle with this. And now he says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? He said, I am doing well with you. I am teaching you. I am an apostle. Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. I am teaching you. You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Now, he goes on to say, well, I struggle, my friends. In this passage, Paul explains that he is free in Christ. He has something to do for Christ. He's an apostle, but this depends on what he is doing with his freedom. He contrasts, you know, the exercise. He paints the picture of an athlete. And then he says, if a person goes to a marathon or is a sportsman, he or she knows where she is going and he or she tries not to be distracted. He says, therefore, I do not run like someone running endlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified for the prize. Self-control. Self-control. It's about myself. Paul is saying, this is what I'm struggling. So perhaps we could have a very good definition if we read carefully what Paul is saying. Maybe he's saying self-control is the control of the self by the Holy Spirit for the sake of the gospel. Paul is saying, I am doing it because I want to give honor to Christ. I struggle. Let's read the words in why. Just to remember, this is the definitions I think the Bible is trying to tell us. Paul says, let's read the words in why. The control of the self by the Holy Spirit for the sake of the gospel. When we have the self-control that the Holy Spirit gives us, we are going to give honor to Jesus for the sake of the gospel. And that is important that we understand what self-control is. Now, what happens when self-control is not there in our lives? Well, Proverbs says, like a city whose walls are broken through, is a person who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. Proverbs 25, verse 28. When the book of Proverbs was written, one of the main sources of strength and protection for a city consisted in the building and maintaining of walls. A city with walls in despair was a city with a shameful reputation. The Bible gives us pictures, sadly, of many people that they didn't have self-control. You remember Judges chapter 14 to 16? Samson, we read the story in Sunday school. Perhaps, you know, Samson was one of the judges. And he was supposed to protect the people. He was known for his strength and led God's people for 20 years. And his primary task was to protect his people from the influence of pagan Philistine. But because he did not have self-control, he instead visited Philistine prostitutes and eventually told Delilah about the secret of his power. Lacking sexual self-control, he soon lost his hair, his strength, and his life. Another example in the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 21 to 23, King Saul. He was anointed the king of Israel, but he didn't have self-control. He wanted to kill David because he was jealous. And he spent energy in trying to kill King David. David, in the beginning, is an example of self-control. He started well. And Saul is trying to kill him, and he has the opportunity to kill Saul. He is there to kill him, and then his soldier said, come on, do it, kill him. And David has self-control. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6, he said to this man, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. Self-control. David was blessed because he had self-control. Tragically, years later, King David didn't have self-control. He commits adultery with Bathsheba and murders her husband. Benjamin Franklin says, "He is a governor that governs his passion, and he is a servant that serves them." Unfortunately, many of us, we allow our walls to be broken down. We have not have self-control. Perhaps some people, they have self-control for drinking, for sex, for lust, for, you know. Solomon reminded us that the importance of keeping watch of what we are doing. Now, very briefly, because, you know, remember that picture, you know, self-control is like a fortified city. And then when we don't have self-control, it's like we are ruined. We are in shame. And what to do? What to do? We have our desires inside. We have circumstances. Somebody makes your life so difficult. And somebody, you are about to lose your temper. If you are like me. Self-control. Well, Proverbs says we are to guard our hearts. Shall we say it together? We. Talking about self-control. We are to guard our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Now, how we want to guard our heart? But we need to have an inventory. You know, I don't know you, but when I used to go to a new place of work, I used to recognize everything. I am walking around, seeing this, seeing that. I used to know my ship from the bottom to the top. So I knew where I was. And that is what we need to do in our spiritual life. We need to be on our guard for lust. Be careful. And that's what Proverbs says in 6:24-26, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman, and do not lust. Self-control. Be careful. Another area is about sometimes we spend so much money, you don't realize how we do it. And some people are, you know, good in that. Proverbs again said, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Self-control. There are areas in our lives. Lust. Or maybe some people just want to get rich and rich and rich. And as well, Proverbs tell us, be careful. Or perhaps your society says something different about, you know, how you live. I grew up in a society that to be a man, you have to be drinking every Friday. Yeah, that was the society I grew up in. I don't know how now it's there, but that was it. And then because I didn't drink, some people said that I was not a man. That was my society. In the Bible, and then I remember reading this Proverbs 23:29-30 say, who has woe, who has sorrow, who has strife, who has complaints, who has needless bruises, who has bloodshot eyes, those who linger over wine. And I remember my friends being in trouble, being in the police, and And those verses were so vivid. Be aware, guard your heart. And then there is something that is very, very dangerous. You need to be aware of uncontrolled anger. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. You look so nice, and somebody is saying something that you don't agree, you lose your temper. Self-control, and everything is deleted. Because there, when a person reacts like that, you know what this person is showing you and me? What is in her heart or his heart? So this person could be a good minister, a good neighbor. But suddenly you don't agree with her or with him. And that person shout at you and want something is there. The Bible said, guard your heart. People with self-discipline, mastered the temperament and controlled their tongue. Self-control. Now, let's see an example very quickly to try to see a good example from the Bible and not from people. Help me with the PowerPoint, please. One example. And then the premier passage is in Titus chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, stop working my computer. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. You know, it's possible to display self-control and in a self-centered society, most of us, most of us maybe just say, "Whoa, I want to give up. I cannot have self-control here. Everyone is making my life difficult." You know, so here we're going to see an example, and I love this example in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Let me read. Say, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good." Our context is the island of Crete. So Titus is a young minister who is... His church is in Crete, and Paul writes this letter to Titus in AD 66, probably from Macedonia or Ephesus. And then the young pastor did not have an easy assignment there, the island of Crete. And here we are going to see a good example that resembles our society. Do you know what was the adjective people used for this place? Crete was the first century party place. Everyone wanted to go there to go wild. Crazy. Crete was a place who was full of bars and, places that people go to get drunk. And that was the kind of picture that we have of Crete. He was filled, you know, it was a party place. So here, the Apostle Paul gives a description of the place in Titus 1:12. Says, "One of Crete's own prophets has said it." You know, it's a person who lived there. It says, "Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons." What a description of a city. And it resembles sometimes our cities, isn't it? These are true pictures of what is happening in the UK. Freshest week. Perhaps not here, okay? Christmas. Another day? And believe me, you, the street pastor, maybe they could give you, and say, "I ain't no lying." With that in mind, it's no surprise to find Paul's letter to Titus, and he tried to encourage and say, "Look, help the elders. They need to be hospitable." And they say, discipline, self-control. Help the older men to be self-control. Chapter 2, verse 2, older women to be reverent, not addicted to alcohol. I don't know why, but it's there. So they used to drink a lot. But Titus in chapter 2, verse 6 says, "You must be an example to young men and to encourage them to be what? Self-control." And today, my last point is how self-control is given. Titus chapter 2, in the same chapter, Paul is teaching Titus about self-control. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. He said, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches to say," what? "No to ungodliness and worldly passions." Shall we read together verse 11? Let's read it together because this is very important. Let's read together verse 11. "For the grace..." In verse 12. "For the blessed hope, the appear of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Now, very briefly, here the emphasis is grace. grace. Salvation is a gift of God, but when we really take that gift, we are on business of self-control. Because Paul says grace redeems us. The moment I cannot be called a child of God because I am doing charity. I cannot be called a child of God because I come to church every Sunday. I cannot be called a child of God because I am a minister of the gospel. I cannot be called a child of God because I am a good neighbor. I cannot be called a child of God. No, because what Jesus did on that cross, and he declares myself righteous before God. But also grace reforms us. The moment I really surrender my life to Jesus, Paul says in verse 12 that we can say what? No to ungodliness. The problem is that sometimes we don't get it. And then we become so religious people, and then we carry on doing what is not to do. And they said, but we struggle. Yes, we struggle. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 said, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God himself is going to help us to be okay. Because grace is living in us. The problem is this. Verse 12. Let's read it together just to keep it here. It teaches us to say. We need to admit that we have a problem with self-control. The problem is we don't admit it. We need to yield to the Lordship of Christ. Come on, God, I cannot help myself. We need to cultivate the disciplines of Bible reading and prayer. We need to be proactive. Not just read the Bible when you come to church. You need to invest in spiritual friendships. Somebody that you go and he or she is good in helping you to understand more and more about God. You need to restrict bad influence. Avoid those things that tempt you. Things that are a temptation for me are no a temptation for you or for you. But things that are a temptation for you, perhaps for me, I don't have a problem. But I need to practice good habits. And I need to welcome gracious correction. But the problem is that we lose our self-control when we, the opposite of this, we don't admit we have a problem. I am okay. We don't rely on God. We rely on a psychologist. Or what the people says. We don't read the Bible. We don't have friends that they want to follow God. We don't restrict by influence. We say, oh, this guy is, or this person. It's okay to be, but we need to practice good habits. And then we need to welcome gracious correction. When we, in churches, perhaps you hear a sermon or a teaching that make you feel uncomfortable. Grace rewards us. We know where we are going. I know we are going. Like today, we feel that Jesus is coming back. We know that he's coming back. So we need to wait for that reward. Richard Foster, he put it very nicely. And I like it because it helps me to have self-control in my life. He says this. Our ordinary method of dealing with ingrained sin is to launch a frontal attack. We rely on willpower and determination, whatever might be the issue for us. Anger, fear, bitterness, gluttony, pride, lust, substance abuse. We determine never to do again. We pray against it. We fight against it and set our will against it. But the struggle is all in vain and we find ourselves once again morally bankrupt. It's a picture. It was a picture for me. Let's face it, we have been created with a multitude of passions, desires. They all need managing. They must be under the control of the Holy Spirit. But when self-control is like a conductor of a symphony orchestra, you know, it's amazing how, you know, they just, and they, you know, play. Just move the button, they do it. That's a self-control. You have been doing right with your kindness, your generosity, and everything, and suddenly self-control comes in. There is no way we can develop self-control on our own. No way. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. As I conclude, this is the key. The last bit of the verses we have been reading the whole 2 months. Against such things, there is no law. This means that this cannot be legislated. There is not something that we can do. No. It's when we surrender completely to the Holy Spirit. Jean Zimbala said, while Christ's work on the cross was the only way to settle the problem of guilt and sin and condemnation, the coming of the promised Holy Spirit was God's way of changing human beings from inside out. Jesus died on the cross, we were declared righteous. But the Holy Spirit changed us from the inside. The law given by Moses had failed on this very point. It was in itself holy and just, but the problem was inside. How the Holy Spirit dwelling in the hearts of the believers will conquer the old dilemma? I want to be different, but can't. I know what's wrong, but I keep on doing it anyway. This empowerment by the Spirit will be the dynamic source throughout time for all who live and labor for Jesus Christ. As I conclude, against such things there is no law. I cannot give you a prescription. It's about surrendering a life in total submission to God. It's only to Him. Self-control is not given when I control myself. No, self-control is when the Holy Spirit controls myself. Let's close our eyes and let me read to you 2 verses as I pray. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 25. Let us close our eyes and perhaps you picture John Titus in that island. So difficult for him to be a minister. He's young. And then Paul says, so as I walk by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Are you living by the Spirit? Or are you trying to do it on your own? Are we keeping in step with the Spirit? Or is our life out of control? Father, thank you for your word. It's challenging, but help us to rely in the power of your Spirit to give you glory and honor, to crown you with our obedience, with our faithfulness, with our love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.